We celebrate today the Feast of the Holy Family. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, certainly a good example for us to follow, a model of family life. One of the things you know about Joseph, Mary, and Jesus, of course, is they were to follow all the dictates of the law. They were good Jews. They would have followed everything that was prescribed in the law. And so we hear in the gospel today about how they do follow those guidelines, the things in the law, with the presentation of Jesus in the temple. It's also, if you really read the law, is also the purification of Mary. So probably what happened, again, this is just kind of reasonable thought maybe here. Remember, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Joseph had to go there. That was where he was originally, you know, that's where his family roots were. So Joseph went there to Bethlehem, and Jesus was born there. Now, there's kind of debate. You know, it seems like they just didn't show up and Mary gave birth. It seems like they were at Bethlehem for a little while, if you read the scriptures carefully. And probably were staying with Joseph's relatives. I mean, that would make sense, probably in the house of one of Joseph's relatives. So after the birth of Jesus, probably stayed there because they had to circumcise Jesus 8 days, 7 days, the end of the octave, basically, circumcised Jesus in the temple. So 7 days after he was born, they would have went up to Jerusalem and had Jesus circumcised. Then, according to the law, 33 days later, they would have had to gone to the temple and presented Jesus, but also Mary would have had to been purified. If you read the law, in childbirth, the woman would have to be purified 33 days after, if it was a boy, 33 days after the birth. Or the circumcision of the child. So there's two elements here. So I just want to touch upon first, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph going up for the presentation. And just by the way, after the presentation, if you read the gospel, it says they went back to Nazareth. So it seems like they may have stayed in Bethlehem for, the whole 41 days until the presentation. It seems kind of strange that they would have went back to Nazareth and came back. So maybe they just stayed there in Bethlehem. Anyway, they go up for the presentation of Jesus. And if you read the law, when the Israelites, we go back into the Old Testament, when the Israelites were in Egypt, remember the 10th plague was the death of the firstborn in Egypt. So as a result of that, both man and beast, the firstborn was killed. And that moved Pharaoh's heart to let the Israelites go. So they were let go from slavery. Basically, the angel of death coming and killing the firstborn, freed the Israelites from the slavery of the Egyptians. And so as a result of that, Moses was instructed by God that every firstborn male that would come forth from the womb was to be consecrated to the Lord. Basically offered to the Lord in service. It was kind of like, a ransom. Okay, so as you go along in the Old Testament, that actually was then changed. There actually was a tribe called the tribe of Levite that then took over the priestly role. So then rather than have your firstborn son be offered to service to the Lord, you could then just pay a ransom. You'd pay, a number of, ransom. Basically, hey, instead of offering your son to service in the Lord, you could give some money, basically. It's interesting when Mary and Joseph come and present Jesus, we don't hear that they gave actually some money. Now, it's interesting that if you look at the genealogy of Mary and even of Joseph, it seems at least Mary, she has Levitical priesthood roots. Remember, Zechariah was a priest. Zechariah was basically Mary's, Elizabeth was Mary's cousin. So there's some connections here. So anyway, it seems like Jesus, rather than actually give a ransom for him, he actually is the priest. He actually is presented to the Lord in the Lord's service. I mean, he is the Lord. So it's interesting. It's just like, okay, he's the high priest. He's the ultimate high priest. And we're certainly aware that he offers him his very self on the cross. He offers that an atonement for our sins, and we'll talk about that in the purification aspect here. So it seems like, okay, Jesus is presented, he's offered to the Lord. He is the Lord. Offered back to his Father. The other element here is the purification of Mary. Again, 33 is after the circumcision, the woman would have to go and be purified from the birth. Now, one of the things about Mary, and we as a church teach this, that Mary was a virgin before, during, and after the birth of Jesus. So it seems somehow Jesus was miraculously born, and Mary maintained her virginity even during the birth. So Mary comes, and you could say, well, she didn't necessarily need to be purified. But anyway, she follows the dictates of the law. And they're supposed to bring, if you read Leviticus chapter 12, that's the book of the law. It's just basically all kinds of laws, very detailed. It says there that if a woman does not have, if she's too poor to have, offer a lamb, she can offer two turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now it seems that this is, you know, this is what Mary did. She brought, she was poor, so she, and it doesn't say you have to bring two pigeons or two turtle doves, you have to bring two of either of those things. But it's also interesting, it says, if you read carefully, the gospel says, for their purification. Is that implying that both Joseph and Mary needed to be purified? Okay, so what does Scripture say? It says they're supposed to bring these, the woman's supposed to bring these, and give them to the priest. One is supposed to be for a burnt offering, and the other is supposed to be for a purification offering. And the priest then takes those and does the offering in atonement for her sin so that she is made clean. So, who cleanses up our sins? Who's the one that makes us pure? Who purifies us? If we but ask for forgiveness, it's Jesus. Jesus purifies us from our sins if we but ask for forgiveness. So, and it just so happens, you know, that Jesus, 33 years after he's born, he does this. There's 33 days after the woman has the child circumcised, she goes to the temple. 33 years later, Jesus does this. He's the great high priest. So all these things are connected. And this is one of the things, you know, it can help us in our belief. It's just like God knew all this stuff, obviously. So he had all this stuff in place. And Jesus, Mary, and Joseph obviously are fulfilling everything that God the Father had willed. Jesus did the Father's will perfectly in his life. He fulfills all the scriptures. Jesus is the new high priest. He's the Lamb of God who offers himself. It's interesting, they didn't bring the Lamb, but they actually brought Jesus, who's the Lamb of God, who purifies us from our sins. So all these connections are just like, wow, okay. So Mary and Joseph certainly were an example for us. They followed everything that they were asked to do. They followed the will of the Father. Certainly Jesus does that. So for us and our families, really, to imitate that. Yeah, it's like, well, what do I want as a family? Well, the question should be asked, what does God want of us as a family? What does God want? How does he want us to live? And we certainly have, obviously, to look at Scripture, look at Mary and Joseph and the family. There's various things we hear about their family. But what about other families in Scripture? You know, to read about that. What does Scripture say about family life? You know, so what does the church say about family life? You know, so look at that. Obviously, a family is called to pray together. You know, pray the rosary, grace before meals, other kinds of prayers, and most especially coming for Mass. Mass, coming as a, you know, a family to pray the Mass every week. Also, you know, we look at one of the more controversial things about family life is St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5. The whole thing about wives and husbands be respectful, basically, to one another. And then husbands, wives are supposed to be submissive, or follow their husbands. But then the husband's supposed to love his wife like Christ loved the church and basically die for her, do what's best for her. That's what basically that means. So some people look at that and scoff at it. But if that's what St. Paul and that's what God lays out, it's like, that's how I'm going to be happiest on this earth, to follow that. Certainly also, God at the very beginning, when he created Adam and Eve, he said, be fruitful and multiply. So this is one of the things, about family life. It's like, that's how God wants to bring children into the world. So, a family, a couple, to be open to all that God has planned for you as a couple, as far as children, to be open to life. It's a beautiful thing. That's what God wants. Certainly the family, it's called the sacrifice for one another. It's like love is sacrificial. So, sacrificing for one another. Parents sacrifice for the children. It's like, I'm going to give up a vacation because I got to help my child, maybe pay for their schooling or whatever else it might be. It's like, I'm sacrificing. I have kids. I have to provide for them. It's like, that's a sacrifice. Look at Mary and Joseph. I mean, they were focused really in Jesus. Obviously, they have, parents have to obviously focus, two on one another. Can't just abandon each other, but there's the balance. As a family, really to forgive, to work things out when things are, kind of like, this isn't good, this isn't a good situation, to work through things. Look at Scripture. It's replete with all kinds of examples of turmoil in families. Like, look at Joseph. Remember Joseph and his brothers? It was kind of like turmoil. But what happened? They reconciled. They forgave each other. So that's in families what we're called to do. So just a good reminder. It's how do I as a family, how do I follow more closely what God wants for us as a family? What God's will is for us in our lives. To really want that. To do God's will. That's what Jesus did perfectly. Certainly Mary and Joseph. So something for all of us as families and members of families really to pray about. Lord, help me to do what you want, not what I want.